absolutely brilliant from the Springboks. We have inflicted the All Blacks' heaviest ever defeat, 43-10, on their own turf. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I give you my top five takeaways at full time of this historic victory by the world champions over their greatest and oldest enemy. Let's start with number one. The Super Springboks were simply sensational. I would honestly say to you that this was a 10 out of 10 performance. Yeah, maybe here and there you can nitpick a little bit, like the knock-ons, for example. But honestly, this was the performance that we would look at and say, where has this been all year? So far in 2025, the Springboks have been mediocre, let's be honest. But on this occasion, they were outstanding. I can't fault them. I won't lie to you, the very first line out of the match, Malcolm Mox lost on his own throw, and I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go again. And yes, there were some handling errors and there were knock-ons, few mistakes here and there, but I feel like all of that stuff was within the margin of error, so to speak. Previously, in the last week or so, when I have discussed this matter, I specified that last week at Eden Park, the Springboks made far too many mistakes. It was considerably more than what would be considered acceptable in an 80-minute rugby match. In terms of errors by the box in this fixture, I felt like it was about what you would expect from any normal team. Now let's have a look. The lineouts were excellent. Yes, we lost that first one on Malcolm's own throw, but after that, everything was good. I think late in the second half, we lost one on Marnus van der Merwe's throw, but I can accept that. One or two, you can accept. When it's three, four, five, six, that's when it becomes problematic. In terms of the scrums, we were dominant. I think New Zealand might have won one, maybe two scrums. The rest of the time, it was all South Africa, and it was a joy to behold. The breakdown, a lot better than what we've seen so far this year. I thought it was refereed quite fairly, and I'm going to come to the performance of the referee in a second. That's actually one of my countdown points. And then in terms of the way that the box attacked, it was wonderful. It was brilliant. Sasha Feinden and Gomez Zulu, unfortunately, he was only on the field for a short period of time, but he was playing really well. That one sidestep that he made when he went on a run was beautiful. Everything about it was just wonderful. And then you know what? I was so pleased for Marnie Lebok. He came on, he bossed the game, and honestly, he was so good that he was one of the players that genuinely could have been considered man of the match. I'll tell you at the end who I think was really the man of the match. But Marnie had a great game. There was that one kick that was the conversion from the sideline that went over that was beautiful. That's the kind of thing that we want to be seeing from Marnie. And honestly, if this match is what Marnie can give us consistently, then nobody is ever going to complain about Marnie Lebok. Then Marnie Lebok is legitimately one of, if not the number one player for the Springbok number 10 jersey. Overall, I cannot complain. I thought it was wonderful. Talking about man of the match, I thought Malcolm Marx was excellent. To be honest with you, I thought all of them were excellent, but there were just a few that were a notch above excellent, if you can even be that. Siya Kolisi was wonderful. I thought Jasper Visser was outstanding. Kobus Reinach, I know a couple of handling errors here and there, but I thought Reinach had a great game. As I say, I thought Marnie played very, very well. Cheslin Kolbe at one stage, I thought he was going to be man of the match. Ethan Hooker, I wouldn't put him in that category, but I thought he got better and better as the match went on. But my man of the match has to be Damian Willemse. What a joy it was to see him come back into the side. I know he's had some injury problems in the last year or so, and he has come back into the side, and he looked like a man that had been out of action for a while, but he was simply sensational on this occasion. So he's my man of the match for this stunning 43-10 victory. One of the great debates of our time, guys, is who is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. It divides opinion and sometimes causes tension, not just amongst friends, but even family members. Now, here's your chance to help select the greatest Springbok team of all time. And this is how. In celebration of 30 years since the Springboks won the Rugby World Cup for the first time, SuperSport is giving you the opportunity to help write the ultimate green and gold legacy. Each week before Springbok Test in 2025, SuperSport is revealing a short list for one position from loose head to fullback. If you head over to the link in the description area below, you can cast your vote. You can just click on the QR code over here I've provided for you on the screen as well. You will also stand a chance to win some amazing Springbok-related prizes. Guys, I'm going to do it, and I strongly encourage you to do it too. Over the next few weeks, we can keep score and compare notes. I'll tell you who I've selected, and perhaps you tell me who you have selected too. The link is in the description area below, and here's the QR code for you to scan. The Springbok Dream Team is proudly brought to you by Spur and FNB. Number 2, Tony Ball. All right, this is one that divides opinion, as you guys know. There were a lot of people on social media so far this year, and especially after that defeat to the Wallabies at Ellis Park, and then again last week, that were saying things like, Tony Brown is the problem, we need to get rid of Tony. Some people were even saying that Brown is an agent, and that he's deliberately there as a plant on behalf of New Zealand to make us play in a way that is inefficient, that goes against our DNA, and will cause us to naturally lose contests and inevitably matches. I've always thought that a lot of that stuff is nonsense, especially the thing that he's a plant. Guys, this is a professional sport, and in a professional sport, people get paid to go and do a job in a particular place or area or whatever the case may be. Think of it like this. Maybe you have a job and you are in your job in an office in Johannesburg representing, let's say, a security company. But then you get an offer by a company in Cape Town to come and head up a department over there. But it's a rival company. You take the offer. Now you move to Cape Town. You're working there for this rival security company. They are paying your salary. Hopefully they're paying you more than what you were getting in Joburg. And now it's your job to do things that go against your previous employer. You're not going to say no, because now you are being paid to do it. And I know that there's obviously things like nationalism and patriotism that comes into it with international sport. But think of it like a company. Tony Brown was working for one company doing a job, and now he's working for a new company doing a job. And his job at his current company is to do things that go against what the other companies are trying to do. I would like to say that this was the test match where Tony Ball finally clicked for South Africa, and it was a joy to behold. I think Marnie Lebok showed why the coaching staff have stuck with him. He's clearly a fly half that is excellently suited to this style of play. I was disappointed that Sasha Feinberg and Gome Zulu had to leave the field on account of the failing his HIA, because I really thought that this game suited him. I think that the style suits him, I really do. And I actually think that we might now be in a situation where, if this is what we're going to be doing, it's actually between Marnie and Sasha for that number 10 jersey. And I've said for as long as anyone can remember that Hundre Pollard is my number one choice as the Springbok fly half. But given what happened today and the way that it all came together, all of a sudden things have changed a little bit. And that's exactly what Dr. Russie Erasmus wants. Depth. We have got some serious depth, and it was a joy to behold. And Tony Ball, it came together today. No doubt about it. It does remind me when Russie first took over and Jock Nienaber came along as the defense coach. And Jock made the comment at the time that his defensive system takes approximately 8 matches to kick in. That's how long it takes for the guys to get used to it and to implement it properly. And as it turned out, I actually think it was the 8th match that Russie took charge of. It was against the All Blacks in Wellington in 2018, and we won that match. And that was kind of when Jock said, well, you know, I kind of told you it would take 8 games, and here's the proof in the pudding. It was lovely to see Tony Ball come together. We scored 6 unanswered tries, well, at least 5 of them unanswered in the second half. It was a joy to behold, and the defense was pretty good too. You can't complain when you only concede 10 points against the All Blacks in New Zealand. Number 3, the performance of referee Nika Amashukeli. Now, we all know that last week people were not happy with the referee, and I've said before that I thought that he didn't have a great game, Carl Dixon, that is. But at the same time, I made the comment that we made far too many mistakes and that is why we lost. Yes, it would have been helpful if Dixon had maybe seen a few things that the New Zealanders had done and blown them up for it, as per the laws of the game, but he didn't. And that obviously put us a little bit on the back foot. But can I just say this for the umpteenth time? Because some of you watched some of my other videos, and when I say some of you, I'm sorry to say it, but mostly New Zealanders that came on you and said, oh, stop blaming the referee, always blaming the referee. I didn't blame the referee. I criticized the referee. I said that the referee missed certain things. And then I made it very, very clear that I didn't blame the referee for our defeat. I said that we made far too many mistakes. And I feel like I said it enough times that we only had ourselves to blame, that nobody would come away from any of those episodes thinking that I said it was the referee's fault that we lost. But okay, fine. I accept some people only hear what they want to hear. Nevertheless, today, what I was most impressed by, and by the way, I saw on X that there were people criticizing Amashuveli. And I think, honestly, because of the laws of the game, and there's so much going on, think of the breakdown, the mauls, scrums even, referees actually cannot see everything, and it's actually impossible to referee a rugby game. And so I look at it and I say, if I'm satisfied that the referee got it right 80% of the time, then he had a great game. And I think that that is true for Amashuveli. I really do. And what I was really happy about, it was very early on in the match, we had a line out, and just like last week, the All Blacks encroached into that no touch line, and he blew them up for it. And that was the end of that nonsense. It didn't happen again. And that's what you want from a referee. Putting a stop to that kind of nonsense. Obstruction, offsides, the dark arts, all those sorts of things. If the referee spots it nice and early, as Amashuveli did, that's the end of that nonsense. And I was really, really pleased about that. Some of you have also brought up the issue of the scrum penalty, and it really does seem, without World Rugby actually saying it, that there's been a directive to the referees to not award scrum penalties, at least not liberally or generously. So you almost have to scrum them back 10 meters before the referee is willing to give you a scrum penalty these days. That's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But overall, Nika Amashuveli, I was happy with his performance, and I really think that none of us can complain. Number four, the old players. Now, it's very interesting that, I mean, we all know this, the Springboks have got a bit of an old age home going in terms of a lot of the players. A lot of the guys are 32, 33, 34, Kobus Reina, 35. And is it problematic? Well, it's problematic when you're losing, but when you're winning, everything is fine. Based on the performance that we saw on Saturday in Wellington, I don't think anybody is going to turn around and say, oh, these players are too old. They were excellent. Every single one of them played out of their skins. Now, the real question is, can they do it 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row? Because that is what is going to be required at the Rugby World Cup in 2027. And honestly, the jury must be out. Now, earlier this year, one of our assistant coaches, Mzwandile Stick, made the comment in a press conference that age will not matter as long as a player is still performing to a high level. And yes, I know there were question marks over players last week and against Australia, both tests, quite frankly, but I don't think there were any question marks over anybody in this 43-10 annihilation of the old enemy. And so with that in mind, it seems to me that indeed, a lot of these old-timers still have a lot of petrol left in the tank, and I'm not ready to write them off just yet. I maintain there are one or two who I think the time has come, and I actually think that, and I'm going to tell you straight out that those one or two didn't play in this match, okay? And I feel like based on the performance, it might be very, very difficult for those one or two to come back into the setup based, again, on what we saw on this occasion. And that brings me to number five. The Rugby Championship. Guys, I won't lie to you, I'm actually not a fan of the Rugby Championship and the old Tri Nations as well. I think when it first came along in 1996, I think all of us were really excited about it. And we thought, oh, this is really cool. This is the competition that the Southern Hemisphere has needed, not only to rival the Six Nations, but when you factor in, certainly at the time, we were the only three countries that had ever won the Rugby World Cup. And out of the 10 that there have been, we've won 9 of them. When I say we, I mean Southern Hemisphere. So it stands to reason that we should have a strong competitive annual tournament. And that, unfortunately, seems like it's in jeopardy because next year there won't be a rugby championship because of the South African-New Zealand tour. There won't be, or there'll be a truncated rugby championship in 2027. There's always a shortened version in a Rugby World Cup year. And then the TV deal expires and who knows what's going to happen. The future really is uncertain. And it's quite ironic that only now, in the, what is it, 29-year history of the tournament, Tri-Nations / Rugby Championship, we finally have a scenario where two-thirds of the way through, this thing could not be any more evenly poised. I think of the 2004 Tri-Nations, when each team beat each other. That was great. And I'm thinking of this one. After 4 rounds, every team has 2 wins and 2 losses. Have a look at the table there. You can see Australia leading the way. That's because of Ellis Park with their 11 points. And then you got a 10, and you got another 10, and you got a 9. With 2 games remaining, you would say this is anybody's tournament. We legitimately could beat Argentina both times. New Zealand could beat Australia both times. It could go 1-1. And it could even go the other way. I don't think Argentina would beat us twice, and I don't think the Wallabies would beat the All Blacks twice. And I think that the Wallabies are going to unfortunately suffer a backlash when they come up against New Zealand. So there's going to be that. I suspect it's going to come down to South Africa and New Zealand, and it might become a points difference thing. But this win today would have gone a long way towards helping us. So that's obviously great. I won't lie to you, despite that, I still think that the Rugby Championship is actually a tournament that maybe needs to be cancelled. And I will do an episode on those reasons, probably at the end of this competition. But for now, let me just say, it's never been this evenly poised. It's never been this exciting. And perhaps it's ironic that with its future questionable, this is the moment when it's never been at a better moment. Ironic, as I say. But what do you think? Do you think that the Springboks finally came good here in Wellington and that this is now the time that they have finally clicked and we can expect to see more of this going forward? Or do you think that this was a false dawn and that it was a once-off? And once we come home and play Argentina at home and then at Twickenham, remember that that second Los Pumas test is actually at a neutral venue, that things will go back to what we have seen previously in 2025. Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits. For example, you could stand a chance to win the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You can also win the brand new Eben Etzebeth biography that's coming out quite soon. In addition to that, you can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store, and you can also win Springbok merchandise and match tickets. You might be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player, and in addition to all of that, you might also be able to get quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, players, history, any of that sort of thing. If it sounds like something you're keen on, head on over to my Patreon page. The link is in the description area below. And the reason I'm asking you to do this is because I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you on a daily basis from down under. I would also love to do this full time. And you signing up as a Patreon or as a patron will help me to be able to fulfill that dream. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zim. The Rand has actually strengthened a bit this year, so that's a good thing. I look forward to your support. I thank you in advance, and I'll speak to you next time.